just read The Life of No Regrets again, and I want to pick up on some of the words from the first section. Great power, deep wisdom, awesome light, reverberation. This is still in the part where Dharmakara is describing his experience of his teacher. He's saying that his teacher has all of these great qualities. He's a fully enlightened and fully realized Buddha. And what I wanted to say essentially was that these four qualities, or any of the qualities of a fully realized power of a Buddha, great power, deep wisdom, awesome light, reverberation, which is this kind of reverberation or vibration, like the ability to transmit something across vast distances, are not something that you develop in an instant, and that even when one has an experience of realizing something or being in connection with something very deep and profound, actually that can just be a beginning of the path of developing great power and deep wisdom and so on. And it, reading these few words reminded me of a story of one of the historical Buddha. It said has many lifetimes before he became enlightened and became the historical Buddha, and there's lots of stories about these previous lifetimes that are, some of them are like folk tales with talking animals and so on, and they're known as the Jataka tales, and they're a bit like Aesop's fable, but each of them has a moral. And there's a story that begins in one of these previous lifetimes where the Buddha has been reborn as a monk, and he's developed considerable spiritual powers. He lives in a forest on his own, he wears a robe made from the bark of particular trees, and probably this very thin bark, I guess, that you get on certain trees on the Indian subcontinent. He's developed the ability to fly, the story says, quickly from one place to the other. So he's got lots of deep meditative powers, but he's still got a long way to go in developing lots of other areas. Anyway, he hears about a great spiritual teacher who's coming to visit the town, and he goes over to the town where this spiritual teacher, who is a fully enlightened Buddha, is going to be. And he sees that the town is preparing, people are putting flags out, they're relaying the road that goes up to the town, they're filling in all the potholes with sand, and he wants to do something to help, so he starts filling in one of the potholes with sand, and he realises two things. One, that he really wants to do it by mundane means. He doesn't want to use his magical powers to fill it magically, because he thinks that's not as good an offering as if he does it manually. And so he starts to fill in the hole in the ground. It's quite a big potthole. And then he starts to hear a huge crowd approaching, and he asks somebody what's going on. And they say, well, this guy who's a Buddha is coming with all of his disciples, and that's them there just coming around the corner. And he realises that he hasn't got time to fill the hole in, so he lies down in the hole to fill the hole in the ground to make a smooth road. And so the Buddha gets to this place on the road, and he looks down, and he sees somebody lying in the hole in the ground wearing a robe made out of bark. And he sees him and he says, well, I can see that you're a very spiritually realized being. And he has a vision of this person's future, and he says to this person who's lying on the ground, if you come with me today, I can guarantee that you'll become an arahat, you'll become fully enlightened through being my disciple. He said, so that's one option. The other option is you go away and carry on practicing and developing. He said, the thing is, if he becomes an arahat in this lifetime, the tradition has it that then, instead of being reborn again as a human, he would go straight to nirvana and cease to be reborn. So he says, if you come with me now, when you die, you'll go to nirvana. He said, or you can stay on the earth and keep developing your compassion, your wisdom, your generosity, your patience, your loving kindness. And he lists this traditional list of 10 things. He says, and it will take you many, many, many lifetimes to do this, hundreds of lifetimes. But if you do it and you work on all these things, then you'll be reborn as a fully enlightened Buddha, Shakyamuni, and you're going to teach lots of people. What do you want to do? come with me and go to Nirvana, or spend the next hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes practicing, learning, encountering suffering, learning from that suffering. And while the person lying on the road decides that he's not going to follow the teacher and go to Nirvana, and he goes back into his forest and meditates to the end of his life and is reborn many, many times until eventually he has achieved perfection in all of these different spheres: patience, wisdom, loving kindness, compassion, vigour, and so on. It takes him a very long time to accomplish perfection in each of these areas. And then it's only at that point that he can be called a Buddha, when he then has his enlightenment experience and is perfected in all of these different areas. So this story, kind of, in a way, this sort of the traditional moral of the story, if you like, or the way it's usually used in a teaching, is to say that how wonderful the Buddha is, and how long it took him to get to be this wonderful, and also to demonstrate a difference between in what you might call enlightenment and Buddhahood. To say that, well, actually, you can go and study with a teacher and have a profound realization of something, or you can become spiritually awake somehow, you can have a deep connection to something true, but even once you've had that, you still might need, if you want to become perfectly loving, perfectly wise, perfectly vigorous, perfectly kind, it will still take lots of work after that point in order to perfect all of these things. In terms of our own lifetimes, I suppose that's the nub of what I want to say today. Actually, doing the practice or being out in the world or meeting a teacher, one might have an experience of the penny significantly dropping, or become awake to a great truth, or experience great bliss in a meditative state. But in a way, that's just one of, if one wants to become perfectly loving kind, that's just the first step on the path. And I suppose the thing for Pure Land Buddhists, or the emphasis for Pure Land Buddhists, is on one, recognising actually that everybody is somewhere on this continuum. There aren't many Buddhas around that we know of, or maybe they're hiding. Everybody has some work to do in each of these areas, and everybody will slip up sometimes, and we won't all be perfect at being wise all the time or kind all the time. And actually, if we want to, it's going to take a very long time. It stands in the face of the instant fix culture of today. I suppose that's why I'm saying it, really, is this: you can go and get 6 sessions of CBT and then be fixed, but actually my experience is it takes a lifetime of work in order to develop a kind of spiritual maturity. And that one is always on the path. You know, the next lifetime, you also takes another lifetime to develop spiritual maturity. So you can imagine each of us is imperfect together. And yet, although in one sense Buddhas are rare in that we don't see them manifesting as humans all the time walking around, actually in another sense, there is something that's very present, which accepts us in our imperfect state. And this is the dynamic between the Buddha and us. This is the Nembutsu practice. This is the relationship that we put ourselves in. So if I take anything from these words, great power, deep wisdom, and so on, it is that these are wonderful things to aspire to, and that I'll keep working towards them, and that I don't expect to get very far in this one lifetime, because it takes many, many lifetimes, because I'm so foolish to begin with. But at the same time as all of that, I can still be in relationship to the Buddha, who will be alongside me all of the way, accepting me wherever I am in this continuum. So appreciating things take time, like a good slow cooked casserole, to come to maturity is the lesson for today. Namo Amitabha. Amen.